Hi, folks. All right. This is, I think, like attempt number 76 or 82. I don't know. Probably like 5,074. I don't know. I'm finally, hopefully, going to get around to finally getting my answers for the AMA done. This has been a long road because I would start them and then something would happen with a kid and I'd have to stop, or I'd have the dog going nuts trying to go outside and it would mess up the sound, or I sound awful because I'm sick, or I'd constantly, damn it, I'm thinking about it. Hopefully that's the only time during this one, because I know those are super, super contagious for most people. So I hope I didn't just force you to do that. And I can't even say the word, because if I say the word or even think about it like I was doing, think about saying the word, it makes me do it. So I was constantly doing that the last few times I tried to record, or I was extremely sopped up and I sounded just awful. Or, you know, there's also the time that I was recording and I was like, I'm going to go and make some hot apple cider in my Keurig while I'm on this. And I'm going to have the phone in my hand right next to the sink when I am turn on the water to refill the Keurig. So it was really super loud and you couldn't hear anything. And it was very obnoxious. So here I am starting over again. I hope I can do this correctly. I'll be honest, I don't even remember questions, much less what I answered any of the previous attempts. So let's get this show on the road, because I got to pick up a kid in a few minutes, like less than an hour. We'll put it that way. All right. So thank you to everyone who asked questions. First of all, I appreciate you. And I will say my lack of activity around here, I think, probably affected like the number of people who were even interested in asking. Or maybe you were just like, hey, you don't shut up every time you do a damn questionnaire, so we already know everything about you anyway, don't need to ask any questions, haha. I'll be honest, I bet you every single question that was asked I probably answered in a questionnaire or in one of my ramblings in a questionnaire, haha. I'm going to try to get through these, and I appreciate those who ask questions, and I appreciate anyone who's listening. I know I'm not the most exciting person in the world. I'm a mom. Woohoo! Anyway, let's start with Red Knight 47. Hello, Red Knight. Thank you for asking some questions. Number one, are you right-handed? I am. I wish I was ambidextrous, actually. But I'm not. Please excuse the sound of the Sprite opening. My throat's going to get dry, I know. So I was like, let me grab a drink real quick. I wish I was ambidextrous, especially now that I have issues with my fingers not wanting to work properly all the time. So if I had the ability to use my left hand to write when my right hand's kind of a little bit worse, which kind of oddly does tend to be a little bit worse lately. I think that's just because that's my dominant hand. So it's the one I use the most. So therefore, like, the nerves are kind of a little bit funkier in it than they are in the left hand right now. So I'll eventually explain all if you're interested. I am kind of ambidextrous, I guess is the best way to put it, with my feet. I drive an automatic because I'm a spoiled American who doesn't know how to drive a standard. So I would like to know how to drive one. We just haven't ever had one for me to learn on, because I don't want to destroy the transmission of a car that my husband's going to be driving on a regular basis. I keep saying we need to rent a standard from like a rental agency and just buy the extra insurance just in case, you know. so that he can teach me. But since I drive an automatic, it's just right foot only. I destroyed like everything in my ankle except for the bones. It was one of those, I did everything but break my ankle, years and years ago. And I was in a boot thing, like a cast and then a walking boot. And that's just extremely not possible to drive in. But I still had to go like to work, and I still had to like go to school and I still had friends and wanted to go out because I was 18 years old and I wanted to go out. So I learned how to drive with my left foot. So I'm actually just as good with my left foot as I am with my right foot, because every time I would sprain my ankle again, I would have to use my left foot. And then when I had the surgeries on my right leg, on my right ankle to fix the, well, first it was to try to fix it. And instead of fixing everything, well, it was try to stabilize, and it didn't work. So I got that whole speech before the surgery. 1 in 100,000 of these doesn't work. And then you have to go to a reconstruction. But I haven't had a single patient have that happen yet. I was his first. So I, you know, had two surgeries on my ankle in the same year. And my, so now my right ankle's in great shape. I mean, it still gets really sore a lot faster than my left ankle, but you know, it works. It doesn't roll out on me just walking, you know, barefoot on a flat surface. That's the most fun. Fractured my ankle walking barefoot on a flat surface. None of this has anything to do with being right-handed. But explaining why I call myself ambidextrous when it comes to my feet, because I can use my left foot to drive just as easily. that was a lot of talk for answering. Are you right-handed? Yes, I'm right-handed. What's your favorite book and who's your favorite author? I am going to show just how shallow I am. My favorite author is Debbie Maycomber. Maycomber? I don't know how she pronounces it. My mom and I always said McComber, just to pronounce the B, and we didn't stress the A, but it's Maycomber or something. I think she technically is with Harlequin Press, so I think she's a Harlequin romance novelist, but she's more along the lines of, like, think like Danielle Steele. If you're younger than 30, you probably don't even know who that is, but which is probably most of you. But she's, Danielle Steele was like the Stephen King of romance novels for the longest time. At least that's the way I kind of always thought of her as. You know, she was the most popular romance novelist. And if you see pictures of her on the backs of her books in these like insanely ornate gowns standing on these ridiculously fabulous like staircases with all these jewels and stuff. Yeah, she was the name in romance novels. But she didn't write trashy ones. And see, Debbie Maycomber doesn't write trashy romance. It's much more story driven and it's much more romance and not sex. And it's the relationship and not the bedroom. You know, yeah, there's a little bit of sex in there. But, and see, Debbie Maycomber doesn't even do as much sex as Danielle Steele would do. But she also, Debbie Maycomber will throw in like these little like mystery elements into a lot of her stories, which I really enjoy. I would love to say, oh, I love like Pablo Neruda. Isn't that like a poet or something, I think? Or even to be able to say, oh, I love Stephen King novels, you know, but I'm a chicken shit and don't like to get scared. So for me, yeah, it's the typical chick lit, you know, that's just me. That's who I've always been. My favorite book is actually a Danielle Steele book. It's called Secrets. The story is about like these people working on the set of a television show. Kind of think like a Law and Order meets, not Law and Order shit, LA Law. Again, if you're under 30, sorry, you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. Like an LA Law meets like Dynasty, or like Dallas, like that kind of storylines type of show. You know, that's the kind of show that they're working on, but it's like in New York. But I've always had this fascination with like television, like in the matter of like working for television, not just like watching television, you know? Like I would love to work on the set of a television show. Not in the, oh, I want to know the stars, or oh, I want to be on screen. Actually, my favorite thing would be to be an editor. I would love to just sit and watch tape, like watch film and just, you know, pick out, oh shit, he was eating his shrimp out of a bowl in this scene, but we cut to this other clip from this other time and he's eating it off of a plate. Actually, there is a job on set that I cannot remember the name of the
the job. There's a person is required. That's like their whole job is to, when they go back for reshoots or something, there it's a continuity. I don't know. Maybe it's a type of grip. I can't remember, but it's a continuity thing. That would be like my ideal job, is to do that kind of thing. And that's the way I've like felt since I was maybe like 4, which I know is ridiculous, but that's just how I've always been. I've always been the asshole who was like, he was eating that off of a plate like 2 seconds ago, or that was a microphone in the top left corner. Like 6 years old, I was pissing my mom off. She's like, I don't care. It doesn't affect the story for me. And I'm like, but it's there and I notice it and that bothers me, you know? So that's the kind of stuff I always want to do. So this book being about these people working on this show, it really, the first time I read it, it was just like, that's the life I want. Not to be like one of those people, but to be one of like that background chick. That's who I want to be, you know? And that's weird as hell, I know, but that's why that book, I think, stuck with me. And it's been years since I read it again, and I think I need to go ahead and read it again. And I think I'm going to go through Debbie Mae Comer's Cedar Cove series again, because I enjoyed that a lot. God, what am I, 20 minutes in, and I've answered two questions? Oh, well, okay, it's 11 minutes in, so it's not as bad. I promise they're not going to all take this long. Are you a good shot? Okay. Breeze, would you like to take this one? No, he's not in the room, but he can vouch for this thing. I have a pathological phobia of guns. Like, absolute terror. My father is in law enforcement. When I visit, if he's got his gun on his hip or in the holster under his, like, in his armpit, like, well, just under his armpit, I will not go anywhere near him until he has put his gun away securely. And then I'm like, hey, Dad, and I give him a big hug. I am terrified of guns. I know when I was younger, God, I think I was like 11, 12-ish, maybe. I did see a guy shooting up a car, like from one parking lot to the next. There was nobody in the car, but we didn't know that when I was watching this guy shoot into this car. It wasn't a traumatic experience at that time, but looking back on it, it was traumatizing in what it's left me with. And I'm pretty sure that is where my fear of guns came from. Because I was never bothered by them before. My dad always had a gun for his job, so it didn't bother me. And just for some reason, all of a sudden, I am terrified. And I know what I like 100% back the Second Amendment. I'm like, you know what? As long as it's like a personal protection thing, there is no problem with somebody having a gun. Or for hunting, like for sport. You know, well, more, I prefer people hunt that they actually like hunt like things that they will use the entire animal and not, you know, and that they hunt animals that are not at risk for, you know, it's a weird like liberal meets conservative thing. Sorry. Anyway, but I'm terrified of guns and I just can't help it. I don't want to be afraid of guns. Breezy has, if you don't remember, Bayou Breeze on here is my husband. That's why I keep mentioning Breeze. Not Drew Breeze, although, oh, whew, my stars. Anyway, he's my favorite football player too. So, he was in the, military and, armed forces was what I was going to say. And so he's been taught how to use a gun properly. He's a really good shot as well. And I know he would like to own a gun for personal protection. I mean, I get it. It's just one of those things, you know, especially being military, you know, having been military or whatever, he was kind of taught to be more aware of people around you. And it's a more paranoid type of mentality, which it's not really paranoia if they're really out to get you. So he's kind of, I know he wants to have a gun, but I can't have one in the house because I will just absolutely never come out of panic mode. So I know I want to get able to handle guns. I know in order to do that, I will have to actually handle a gun. My father and Breeze have both said that they are more than happy to take me shooting. They both will go together. They will bring my brother, who was also military at one point. He knows how to shoot. So they've all said that they'll be there as like an emotional support and to make sure that I can handle it and that I'm doing everything as safely as possible. I just can't force myself into it. So I know we're going to visit family again soon. So I'm thinking I may, you know, but every time I'm going home, this, if this topic comes up before I go home, I'm like, yeah, next time I go, that's it. I'm going to do it because I know just, it's going to take just one or two times and I will get over it. I'm positive. I just have to force myself into it. So no, I'm not a good shot because I'm terrified of the guns. Is there anything that you particularly like cooking? I made jambalaya earlier. I like to make gumbo during the holidays. Actually, I think gumbo comes up down here. Yes, gumbo comes up down here. So I'll save my gumbo discussion until then. I like to make, basically, I prefer to do the big meals. Like I want to cook Thanksgiving dinner and I want to cook it for a large number of people. It's just a weird thing with me. I'm not one of those cooks that kind of tests my food all day long. I know what works and I know, you know, if I'm changing something up, yeah, I may taste it, but I'm pretty sure I know what I'm doing when it comes to certain things. And I want to, so I don't constantly taste my food or anything when I'm cooking, but if I do a big meal and I spend like all day in the kitchen, I am just not hungry by the time it comes time to eat. So I don't overeat at the holidays if I do the cooking. I like that idea. So I like cooking like the big meals. I like cooking for people who appreciate, you know, decent, good meals. I am not a healthy cook by any stretch of the imagination. I am a Southern, like Cajun cook, and that means there is not a chance you're getting something low fat from me. That's just the way it is. So when people come to dinner or something, it's like if you have a cheat day every week, that's the day you need to have is your cheat day, the day you're coming to my house, because I'm gonna cook you a real meal and it's gonna have all kinds of extra calories and stuff in it, and there's gonna be dessert, and yeah, it's gonna be on. What is your favorite color and why? Emerald green. My birthstone is an emerald. And I've got a lot of Irish heritage. So I think that's where it comes from. How do you feel? Hey, that was the quickest answer yet. How do you feel about water balloons? That is such a silly, fun question. I love it. I love that it's got a little smiley after it too. I love water balloons. I don't want to actually get hit with one. I love to pelt my kids with them. You have to make sure it's really full. If it's not really full, it's just going to bounce and it can actually end up hurting more than it would, you know, anything. So you got to make sure they're really good and full. I love those little things where you've just got the one piece that you hook onto the hose and it's got all these tubes to these like 40 balloons that fill and then they pull themselves off closed up at once they're full. I love that. Only problem is if you don't get all the pieces picked up off of the concrete quickly, like if you've got like a patio in your backyard or something and the sun dries them on, you need a really good pressure washer like I don't have right now to get them off. That's part of why I'm wanting a pressure washer so I don't have to worry about things like that anymore. But yeah, so I love water balloons. I mean, I'm a mom. I hope most moms like them, especially, you know, it's for fun. It's your kids having fun. Thank you for your questions, Red Knight. I appreciate it. Sorry it took me almost 20 minutes to answer. What was it? 6 questions? Wow. That, y'all, I ramble. I apologize. All right. Rainbow Blood Unicorn. I love that name and I'm terrified of that name. So is the unicorn like bleeding like red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple blood? Sorry, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet blood? Or is it like the blood of a unicorn that's like rainbow colors? Like, what does that mean? Like I'm trying to picture it. And I like unicorns and I think rainbows can be very pretty. Blood freaks me out. So, yeah. Cake, pie, cookies, or brownies? Brownies. I can make some pretty good pies, but my pies kind of fit into my normal when it comes to cooking. Like some of my best things that I can make are things that I don't actually enjoy. I'm not a big pie person. There's a few that I'll eat. I think there's a question down here that brings up desserts that I was going to answer. Oh, that's the next one. Ha ha. I'll answer it with that one. Cookies. My dad makes the best chocolate chip cookies in the world. Otherwise, I don't really enjoy cookies. There's just not really anything. They're just not one of my favorites. I'll eat a good golden Oreo here or there, but that's about it. Cake. A good chocolate Coke cake or a coffee chocolate cake, which is basically coffee chocolate Coke cake, but with coffee instead of Coke, which was one that my mom and I kind of invented because nobody had ever said try it. And we were like, let's try it. And it was really freaking good. And the frosting, oh my God, the frosting is freaking amazing. I'd put that frosting on like anything and I would like devour it. So brownies, I think, are kind of my biggest if I was going to eat something like that. But for me, it's more ice cream. I'm much more of an ice cream kind of thing. And I'm not even that big of an ice cream fan. I'm in an ice cream phase right now. And Blue Bell has some of the best flavors out right now. And I am like loving this peppermint bark flavor from Blue Bell. You get a chance to try it. Holy shit. Like, this is going to go into answering what is the best dessert product to have after a meal and why. That's part of that answer. Rainbow Blood Unicorn must have been thinking about some, sweets at the time. Or just because I'm so sweet, it came to mind. Anyway, I definitely would say the best dessert is probably going to be ice cream, especially Blue Bell. I love their, like I said, the peppermint bark right now. That one literally leapfrogged every other flavor to number one for me after like three bites. Other than that, I love Blue Bell's just regular peppermint. Their mint chocolate chip. They have cookie two-step, which is cookies and cream with chocolate chip cookie dough in it. Holy crap. It's supposedly vanilla ice cream with like cookie pieces and chocolate chip cookie dough pieces, but it really to me just tastes like I will catch up to my words soon. To me, it's just cookies and cream with chocolate chip cookie dough. Y'all, this is me after I took my second Adderall for the day. This is pretty bad. I do make a hell of a peppermint mocha French silk pie with a homemade peppermint whipped cream topping. Y'all, I'm not lying when I say that is the shit when it comes to desserts. If you're not from the U.S. Or maybe even other parts of the U.S., I don't know, that means it is awesome. I have made it for events before that we were supposed to bring something to, and every time, like I was in a group that we would bring food to meetings and we would all vote on what the best thing was. Every time I brought the peppermint mocha French silk pie, it was like the top winner. And every time I was asked over and over again for the recipe, so it always went into like the year-end recipe book. And it's really, really good. I'm not going to lie. Thank you for your questions, Rainbow Blood Unicorn. And I would love an answer as to what that means, if you don't mind. I find it fascinating. I don't know if it was just you were like, hey, these sound like fun words put together or what, but like seriously, picturing a rainbow a unicorn bleeding blood that's coming out in red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple, which isn't as scary of blood, I guess, technically, you know, why not? So thank you for your questions. All right. Mr. Licorice returns. Well, where were you, Mr. Licorice? And why did you have to go so that you could return? And welcome back. Unless I'm missing some form of an illusion to, that's not the word I'm wanting to use. This is, I feel stupid. Is it some kind of reference? There's a word. Sorry. Is this like a reference to something that maybe I don't know? There's a lot of things I don't know, so it's possible. Sorry, that's that Sprite I opened earlier. Okay. Number one, if you could travel anywhere, where would you go? Money and other things aren't issues. Okay. Spoiled American girl about to say something. I as long as it is a developed nation, sign me up.
As long as I can get there without the use of some form of an animal to get me there, or if I can get, as long as I can get air condition or heater, as long as I can have a bed, which is a mattress, not like straw with a sheet thrown over it. As long, that sounded really, really awfully stereotypical. I swear I'm not that bad. I would love to help people in these countries in any way that I could, but if I'm traveling, I want to be in luxury. I actually said this to Breeze earlier. I am the type that when I go on vacation, I want to go and do exactly what I do at home when I'm not, when I don't have anything I have to do. And I just want to do it in a more comfortable place. Like, I want to be like completely pampered as much as I can be. I know it's just stupid, spoiled, rotten American girl thing, but it's just, it's who I am and I own it. And, you know, I don't make straight up apologies for it. I'm not 100% proud of it, but I'm not going to apologize for who I am. You know, the world runs on all different kinds of people. And I know what my limits are, and I am not going to be a gracious and decent ambassador of my country in a place where I'm uncomfortable. And I don't want to go and make a fool of myself and give more people more reason to talk about those stupid Americans, you know? So, yeah, pretty much any developed nation, I want to see it. I have not been able to travel nearly as much as I'd like to, but you know, hey, life is life and this is what happens. So eventually, we'll get there and Mr. Breeze and I will take a whirlwind, you know, 6 month European tour and just enjoy ourselves and see all the sights that we can see. And that'll be great. But you know, until then, I will do what I can. Number two, how did you end up finding GWA? Literotica. I was there to read stories. Noticed something about audio and I was like, what the huh? Like, is this like the sound of people having sex? And I can just go to like Pornhub and just throw in the headphones and just not look. And then I was like, well, is it people like reading these stories? Like that's okay. Maybe I could kind of get into that. So I decided to listen one day just to see what all it was about and was like, holy shit, this is totally not what that was. I kind of like this. And that led me to, I assume it's okay for me to say a specific name, Gale Force. I started supporting Gale Force on Patreon and through there met some different chicks who I kind of got to know. And a lot of them would, I'd hear mention of, or I'd read mention, I should say, of GWA and was like, okay, what's this GWA thing people talk about? I just dropped something. Y'all, excuse me. I'm getting ready to go pick up my son. So y'all gonna come with me in the car and I will just pause it until I get home once I get my kid because he's gonna be like, mommy, why are you answering questions? Who is that for? I'm not telling you. So, yeah, so I heard about GWA from these chicks and was like, well, that's interesting. And once I kind of decided to come and take a look, I found that I kind of liked it. And it was, you know, nothing against Gale Force, but, you know, I guess I'm maybe a little more some stuff. I like certain things a little more than he doesn't normally do. He's not the, like, rough and ready, rugged type of guy. He's a much more like sweet and sensual, and I get that from Breeze, no problem, and I always have. So, you know, I didn't, and to me, that's more romantic. The sweet and fun, you know, the sweet and innocent and, you know, loving and caring and garage doors opening. Hopefully, that's not too loud. So, didn't I say I was recording it again because of all the background noises being too loud? Yeah, and here I am just making more noises because I'm, you know, that kind of person. But yeah, so I found that I kind of liked a little bit more of what I was finding on GWA a little bit better than G-Force. I mean, he's still, Gale's still adorable and sweet and everything. So, you know, once in a while. But yeah, so that's how I found GWA. And then, you know, of course, once you're here, a lot of
the what about recording comes up. And I had had a couple people who had heard me talk before on other things, like had seen, you know, people that I'd kind of gotten to know from the Gale Force group that got to know me, that had heard my voice in different capacity, that were like, oh my God, you should totally try recording. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think anybody would actually care. Then I had a couple people that once I got on GWA that were like, hey, you know, you're Southern. I'd love to hear a Southern chick do a recording. I'm like, my voice isn't all that Southern, but okay. So I just kind of did something like just talking so they could hear it. And they were like, oh my God, you totally have to do recordings. So I started, and that's how I got here. Okay, are you a coffee or tea sort of gal, or are you one of those people who drinks neither? Okay, I lose my Southern card on this. I do not drink sweet tea like I'm supposed to. I know. My mom is just so embarrassed and disappointed in me, and, you know, what can I do? So, I don't drink tea. Years and years ago, I think it was a Celestial Seasonings one, I tried an apple cinnamon hot tea. It wasn't cider, it was a tea. And it was actually yummy, and I really enjoyed it. And for like 3 or 4 years, that's what I drank during the cold weather. And then I didn't get it for a few years, and then all of a sudden it was nowhere to be found anymore. Then coffee. I do drink coffee, but when I drink coffee, it is cold and with ice and milk and sugar and flavorings and thrown through a blender and called a frappuccino. Or if you know Southern Louisiana community coffee's coffee houses, it's a mocha sippy, which is better because it's got community coffee. So yeah, I'm a coffee chick, and I love coffee ice cream too, especially Bluebell's. I would love if Community Coffee would get together with Bluebell or something, and they would make a coffee flavor, but it's community coffee like flavor. Oh my God, I would balloon to like 7,000 pounds because I would just live on that stuff. Okay, anyway, number four, how long have you been married? It's 2017, right? So we have been married for a little over 14 years, been together just over 16 and a half. And I would not give up a single second of that for anything in the world. Breeze is the most amazing man. Ladies, you can say your man's better. Guys, you can say you're better. I'm just going to have to tell you, I'm sorry, every single one of you is wrong. There is no man better than Breeze. And this is coming from a Southern chick who's all like, my daddy is the best person and the best man in the whole wide world until I met my now husband. It was all about my daddy being so awesome, not like in a weird, like, reverse Oedipal way. It was just, you know, Southern chicks were like that. Or at least, you know, old-fashioned type. You know, every man is compared to daddy and they never can stand up to, you know, can be as good as daddy. My husband is as good as my dad. I love my dad, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I think my husband's even a better father than my father, which is saying a lot. Because my dad is like the best dad in the world. And then there's Breeze who's better, you know, I don't know. I'm rambling. So, thank you. For your questions, Mr. Licorice Returns, I appreciate them. All right, nickel silver. I'm gonna end up pausing here probably after this first question. So good to see you. I miss you too. I'll be back, I promise. Like more often back. Okay, number one, do you sachet or do you stroll? Right now, it's more like a hobble, like a weird, like, limp thing. I use a cane to keep me balanced kind of thing. Yeah, that's where I am right now. I'll explain all that later, I think. I think I'm going to go ahead and do an explanation at the end. But when I can walk properly, it's more of a strut. Than a sachet or a stroll. I always have kind of been more, you know, when I'm more feeling confident, it's a very determined, I take very determined steps, and I think it's more of a strut look than anything.
If I'm dressed really pretty, then it's definitely more of a sachet because, yeah, I'm dressed pretty. So why wouldn't I sachet? Especially if I'm wearing a skirt. So, yeah, that's me. Number two, king cake or d'auberge from Gambino's. I love that you are name checking Gambino's. Love Gambino's. Love, love, love. So definitely king cake. Never got into d'auberge. I don't know why. Just, I think maybe because my mom and dad weren't really into d'auberge, so it just wasn't something I was really provided that often. Whereas king cake from birth, every single year, starting January 6th until Mardi Gras, every Friday, there's a king cake at work, at your work or whatever, or when you're in, like, and when I was in school, we would actually do the whole one kid brings a king cake on Friday, and if whoever gets the baby, they bring the king cake the next Friday. And there were quite a few times when my mom was like, hey, payday was this week, so don't get the damn king, don't get the baby this Friday, don't even get your piece until you already know who's got the baby, because I can't buy a king cake next week. Maybe the following week, we'll see. you know, that was like I grew up, king cake was always there. I love Gambino's king cake, obviously, because it's awesome. Especially, like, I love just traditional, but I do enjoy the cream cheese or the cream cheese and strawberry. Then there's Ambrosia Bakery. I don't know if they have a location in New Orleans. I know they're in Baton Rouge. They have a Zulu, which is coconut and chocolate, which is fabulous. I love that. My son's class is getting out, so I'm going to pause, and I will be back to y'all in a few minutes. Alrighty, and I'm back. Boy, did y'all have to wait a long time, huh? Actually, it hasn't been even all that long. It's been like 10, 15 minutes, something like that. Anyway, hi. Okay, so now we finished talking about the king cake. Now I am on define gumbo besides the roux. What do you throw in it? Well, for starters, any Cajun worth their salt knows that there is no, that if you're trying to define gumbo or like have a recipe for gumbo or something, you've already messed up and you've already done it wrong. You either have filet or roux to thicken it. I am much more of a fan of roux. I don't know. I just never really liked the flavor of filet. So for me, I will admit my, again, ADHD comes up. I am terrible with the whole stand in front of a pot and just keep stirring while this oil and flour turns into a roux. And you better keep an eye on it, because in 4 seconds, it can go from not even close to done to burned. So I use jarred roux. I know. Handcuff me, take me to jail. I use Savoie's brand, Savoies. I use a mixture of both light and dark. Hold on, kiddos screaming. I'm sure the cat's probably trying to sit up on the counter, on the table where he's doing his homework. Hold on. All right. Well, that's fun. Yes, it was the cat. Oh my God. I love my kid. I'm going to be quiet. Okay. I use Savoie's roux. I use a mixture of both light and dark. It's just a buttload of stock in a pot, which we get the stock by boiling down the carcass, either of turkeys or chicken. To make it, this time of year, it's now getting to turkey and sausage gumbo. We roast a turkey for Thanksgiving and Breeze fries turkeys all through the season. So we use those carcasses, and generally I can get about 4 good size pots of gumbo out of just the turkeys we do for Thanksgiving. And all the meat from the roasted one goes for gumbo, because I don't actually eat turkey just straight up. Like, I'll eat it in gumbo, but I don't eat it just straight up. And Breeze and my daughter both eat it, but they prefer fried over roasted. So all the one from the oven, that like 22-pound turkey usually, that all goes for gumbo meat. Yeah, we boil down the carcasses. We throw in... Breeze actually does most of the seasoning too. He's not even Cajun, y'all.
But I'm terrified I'm going to either overseason or underseason. So I always just completely overcompensate the wrong way. So I have actually, he's really good about being able to say, look, this is how much I know when I put in this much into this much water, it's pretty good. It's just like a natural instinct kind of thing for him, which is weird because he didn't know what flavor was before he met me. So he didn't even use salt, y'all, seriously. So he puts in pretty much everything, including the kitchen sink. He boils that down, gets something out, you know, gets a little bit of stuff out of it and puts it back in. As we do that, we throw in some of the Cajun injector stuff that we use for the fried turkeys, generally like garlic and butter flavors. And then I just do the Holy Trinity, which is onion, bell pepper, and celery, of course. And usually for us, it's just the turkey and the sausage, or the chicken and the sausage, and then the Trinity and roux and stock, and then you put it over rice. I don't understand this whole like potato salad thing. I don't remember that as a kid. I don't understand it. I'm totally not down for that. So no, gumbo goes over rice. The most inventive I'll get is I have done gumbo over jambalaya, which is just so much fun. But it kind of feels like a waste because that's two separate meals right there and you're kind of wasting a meal's worth of food. Although it's really not wasted because it just tastes so good. Anyway, so yeah, that's my gumbo. And I use just like plain smoked sausage. I don't use tasso or any of the good Cajun sausages. I can't do a lot of spice. I've never been a very spicy food kind of person. Like I like seasoning spice, but I don't like heat spice. So yeah, we pretty much just stick to like typical regular smoked sausage. I think like Eckrich or Hillshire Farm, something like that. One of those has it. Top three favorite songs about New Orleans. Okay, they all ask for you. I went on down to the Audubon Zoo when they all asked for you. The lions asked and somebody else asked and somebody else did too. Then, of course, Mardi Gras Mambo makes me think of New Orleans. I don't know that they actually say New Orleans in it. They probably do. And then I think my other favorite is actually, it's a mention of New Orleans, is I like, what is it? Down at the Twist and Shout, the Mary Chapin Carpenter song. Bright Saturday night and the moon is out. I'm gonna head on over to the Twist and Shout. Find a two-step partner and a Cajun beat. When it lifts me up, I'm gonna find my feet. Out in the middle of a big dance floor, when I hear that fiddle, wanna beg for more. Wanna dance to a band from a Louisiana tonight. Then it's in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, you know, like southern Louisiana. So I'm like, hey, that's home, yeah. And of course, calling Baton Rouge, not New Orleans, but being from Baton Rouge. I, of course, love that song. That's, oh God, Garth Brooks. Number five, sequins or feathers? I think you misspelled and I'm not really sure what the question mark's all about. That should be an exclamation point. It should be sequins and feathers and glitter. My Mickey Mouse ears that I got at Disney World recently are gold glitter with the sequin mini bow in the middle with a feather sticking up. So I've got all three covered on that. I don't dress very like flashy all the time because unless I know like where the people I'm going to be around, like I know I can be flashy with them. Otherwise, I tend to be more subdued in my outward appearance. And then my personality tends to be the overbearing part, not my appearance. Yes, I realize I can be overbearing. Oh, well. So that's my thoughts. Thank you, Nicole Silver. I appreciate your questions. My rambling, I'm glad you like the rambles because that's all I seem to be able to do lately. My Erotica Mind. Oh, such a pretty name. I love it. Which countries have you visited? We lived in Portugal with the military. And if you're stationed there and you have a medical thing, you go to Germany, which is what happened for me. And I've lived in the United States. That's it.
When we lived on the border, we never ventured into Mexico because I'm just on the other side of the border. This doesn't exactly tell you where I lived because I can tell you right now, this is pretty much all along the border entirely. On the southern side of the border, it just, the city right there is just way too dangerous. And this is coming from people who lived in that city and would venture north to work, generally, you know, day laborer type stuff. And then they would go home, at night, crossing over the border again. I was told by many, many, many Mexicans that I knew when I lived down there, you know, look, you don't want to go there. You know, if you want something from down there, you know, if you need us to pick up some, medication for you or something, just tell me and I'll get it. You know, you really don't want to risk it. It's just, you know, I hate that, you know, sure, that probably sounds horribly stereotypical. I believe that, you know, farther south you go into Mexico, it's better. But just for some reason, kind of right there along the southern or around the border to the U.S., it's just kind of most of those cities tend to be more, you know, at least we're presented that they're very dangerous places for Americans to go. Any you want to visit and you didn't. Every place I haven't been able to visit yet. Like I said earlier, if it's an industrialized nation, sign me up. If I can have Wi-Fi. Phone service and heating and cooling when necessary and a comfortable bed with a door that locks. Oh, and running water, toilet, shower situation. I'm sold. Yeah, I know. I'm so spoiled. Any you prefer that you visited? I loved Portugal. The Portuguese Azores, so beautiful. Oh, I cannot wait to go back there one day. I'd love to just like retire there. What was the best PM you ever received? Well, that is hard to say, actually. I can't say that I've had a specific best. I prefer the more like friendly style chit chat type of, you know, messages. Like, I listened to your questionnaire and you said this and I thought that was hysterical, or oh, I love that show too, or whatever. I enjoy that type the most. I have made some different, you know, some friends, just chit chat friends, not crazy stuff friends. That's just not what I'm here for. There was a time when I thought I might be, but I'm not really, you know, I'm good, you know. I probably shouldn't have said that. But I had some friends that, you know, because of my medical stuff and, you know, just different situations, we have lost touch, or, you know, we broke off contact completely for one reason or another. And, you know, there was never any, you know, lingering negative feelings, at least not on my part. I hope there weren't any on their parts. You know, if you're somebody that I've spoken to before and you think I might be meaning you, then I mean you, you know, pretty much. I miss everybody and I hate that I've been like gone so much. I do still get notifications, you know, that I'm getting a PM. So, you know, I miss you and I hope to hear from you again, you know, when you feel comfortable talking to me again, or when you, you know, hear this, if you do and want to say hi. What is the worst PM? I gotta say it, fellas. I know it kind of probably is just the nature of the beast, but I am not here for dick pics. Sorry. Right after my very first audio, I got a message that was, this is what you did to, you know, this is what your audio did to me. And for some reason, when I saw that blue link thing, I was like, oh, it's going to lead to an audio. And it's like a response audio. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, oh, that's really sweet. So let me just, you know, oh, that's cool that they took the time. So why not? It was a dick pic. I mean, I'm sure it was a perfectly adequate one. I don't really have any clue what it looked like now. It's not me. I'm not interested in that at all. I have a very, very, very nice looking dick to look at whenever I want to. I'll be good with breezes. I'm not all about like all the like, you know, super sexual messages. I mean, of course I appreciate the, oh my God, that got me so hard, or, oh, I got off to that. You know, of course, you know, let me know that I'm doing good. I appreciate that. It's the, you know, wanting me, you know, the expecting that I'm going to continue in that vein of discussion. It's not what I'm here for. I'm sorry. I hope that doesn't bother anyone too much. It's just not me. So yeah, that would be, I guess, along the lines of, quote, the worst. What kind of audio is my favorite to do? This. I love to ramble, if that's not obvious. And I don't spend a lot of time with adults in my life because I don't have a job. I'm a stay-at-home mom and my kids are in school. So my interactions with adults are like school-related or other parents. And it's all just way too much kid. And you just don't talk about everything with those adults, you know? So, or it's my doctors. You know, that's pretty much the only other places I ever meet anybody, any adults that I would talk to. So this is where I can get all that stuff out of my head. I love doing these. I enjoy doing the more fun sexual ones, but I haven't really felt that sexy lately. So I have not been in the mood to do any of those. I may jump back in with another couples one with Breeze soon because he makes me feel sexy. You know, I feel sexy with him. It's the when I'm alone part that I don't really feel it. So it's just kind of a byproduct of everything I've been going through. I'm gonna try to get back to it soon. I hope to very soon. We'll have to see. You know, what are my favorite to listen to? I love this kind of thing, you know, it's so much fun. So, I like listening, getting to, you know, hear other people's thoughts on different subjects. You know, I like the questionnaires that get into like kind of more deep discussion type of, you know, like the questions are very leading that can lead to some really good discussion of an idea or a theory or a feeling or something. I really enjoy listening to those. If you're a very matter-of-fact person, you like to just answer the question and move on to the next one, totally cool. You do you. That's awesome. I hope I don't bother you by my rambling. That's always a worry of mine that I talk way too much and I bother people. I enjoy hearing that. So, if anybody's worried that they ramble too much, understand. I enjoy listening to it. So at least you know you got one person who doesn't mind it. I like listening to those. As far as the sexy audios, I guess more along the male dom ones, but in like from like the daddy kind of protector style male dom without age. I can't get into the little like actual quote little girl style. But like, you know, the more protector style daddy than the, you know, father style daddy, like from there up to like right before you really start to get to some of the more, quote, hardcore dom stuff. I'm not into like degradation because I already have enough self-esteem issues without somebody saying, oh, you know, you're a dog and treating, you know, however. So for me, it doesn't work for me. So kind of that area in between those two. Yes, I am totally motioning with my hands as I talk about this. That's kind of the area of what I like to listen to. That's kind of what catches my attention. But it's always what my mood is. Like I still once in a while want to feel like loved and cherished and Breeze isn't available to do that with me at that time. So I may pop in like a gale force type of thing. You know, there are those times when I'm kind of getting in my head about my history with assault and it weird, I know, leads me to maybe I go look for like one of Todd's rape audios, you know. That's a weird, like taking back that my power in that situation kind of dynamic. I understand that. I don't expect it to be for everyone. Totally get it. But for me, that kind of helps at times. So yeah,
That's my feelings on which ones I like to listen to. And hi, and Dare. I'm glad you at least got to comment before I recorded. And I am sorry, y'all, that it took me so long to record. I'm going to try to do this quickly. I said I would get back to this a little bit. And I'm going to start by, number one, I am not looking for sympathy. I'm not looking for sympathy. Please understand that this is not like a, oh, tell me how sorry you feel for me. And, oh, you should, you know, send me PMs and tell me how, you know, you wish me well. And that's not what this is. This is kind of more of an explanation, because I know I'm not a big fan of like vague comments, and I've been making comments about this for a while, and a few people I've kind of discussed it a little bit more with, and I just felt like I kind of want to throw it out there. You never know, somebody might have gone through something similar and they might be able to say, hey, have you thought about this, or has your doctor talked about that? Or there might be somebody who's kind of at the start of the process and going, wait a second, that sounds kind of similar to what I'm going through and my doctor's at a loss. Maybe, you know, maybe I should talk to Nola and see what she says, you know, see if she's got some ideas on that. Because I've done a lot of research on this stuff. For the last 2+ years, I have had continually worsening peripheral neuropathy. It started with my toes, just that tingly, oh, it's going to sleep kind of feeling. And then it just kind of started to go to where all of a sudden it was just like, it was that cold burning sensation. And then it was dead in certain parts of my toes. It is extremely symmetrical. If there is a spot on my big toe on the outside that hurts, it hurts on the other foot in the exact same spot. It's very weird. That is 100% symmetrical. But that's how it is. It started with my feet and got to, it's right about midfoot now, and it hasn't seemed to want to progress any farther or like up to my ankle. I have a feeling it's getting close to starting to head that way though, because I can feel that more nerves are starting to become involved that were not involved before. It's now started my fingers. It started in the tips of my fingers with just, I couldn't really feel anything that well. And it was weird because it went from the not feeling anything that well to the hypersensitivity, which it seems before my nerves die, they go hypersensitive and everything is just 1,000 times more painful and more sensitive than it would have been. So like you think, you know, the meme, like stepping on a Lego is like the most painful thing you can do. That is the type of pain I feel from like stepping on a grain of salt on the floor in my kitchen without socks on. Any differentiation between, you know, anything that's going to be different on one part of my foot than it is from the rest of my foot, that is extremely painful. For some reason, all the nerves on the bottom of my feet are 100% overhyped, like overactive. The tops of my feet have lost most of their feeling, up to just a little bit past my toes. And then it's the really, really sensitive nerves again. So those are probably going to die soon. I think the ones on the bottom of my feet are pretty close to going. The ones in my fingers have moved to the second knuckle. Think about when your hands are really, really cold and you go to like make a fist and that burning pain, that cold burn in your knuckles when you go to do that, that is my normal feeling there. It was, if you've had any, history with yourself or anyone that you know, having had dealt with Guillain-Barré or the chronic form of it, which is CIDP, chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy. It's kind of like MS for your peripheral nerves. If you know anybody who's dealt with that, you know, that's what we thought I had, except that instead of having dulled reflexes, my reflexes, I've got hyperreflexia. So all my reflexes are way exaggerated from what they're supposed to be. Which doesn't fit any form of a diagnosis of any kind. So, you know, what the hell? We have gone through MRIs. We think I had a stroke this summer at one point. Did not do any damage, any lasting damage. But what I went through that night was like 2 hours of extreme dizziness to the point where I almost threw up. I was slurring my words, but I thought I was talking 100% normal the entire time and couldn't understand why Breeze didn't understand me. Which they say is kind of like, oh God, classic. That's definitely, they're pretty sure that that was a stroke, but thankfully no brain damage. I've had the scans of my brain, so I can tell you my brain is perfectly normal, from a visual standpoint. But I've had MRIs. I had like 40 vials of blood drawn in the spring to test like every single common thing that they can test for. Then they tested every single uncommon thing that they generally will test for this kind of situation. I had my MRIs. I had a spinal tap. Then I had to have biopsies on my a nerve in my foot and on my thigh, a muscle in my thigh. I had tests. They're called EMGs and nerve conduction studies. I would assume if you don't really have neuropathy, they probably are not that painful. When you have neuropathy, it's you want to die. So I've had those tests twice, actually, now. I have recently had another MRI. Again, came back fine. I was sent to Mayo Clinic because my doctor was like, I can't come up with anything else. Like, this doesn't make sense. We should have found an answer. I don't know why we haven't. We have to go to the next step. And I mean, we're talking, I have the number one neurologist in my state saying, I have to send you to the experts because I can't figure it out. And I'm like, you are the expert that everybody else gets sent to. He's like, yeah, these are the people I send people to now. At the Mayo Clinic, I was told it was idiopathic, which is doctor speak for we don't fucking know. Idiopathic sensory motor polyneuropathy. Both my motor function and my the nerve feeling are involved. Polyneuropathy just means multiple different nerves are involved. And it's my peripheral nerves. But they did some blood work, and we just found out last week that one of the blood tests came back with a positive for an antibody that should not occur without a catalyst that would cause it. The typical catalyst for that would be a tumor. And more likely a malignant tumor. Just because the antibodies are there, you know, my body would be trying to fight the tumor. If it is, I've had it for multiple years and it's never shown up yet. So therefore, I choose to believe the best possible outcome would happen if it is. And everything I've read has said that, you know, it's very likely that if I do have it, that the fact that it hasn't been diagnosed yet is actually a good thing because it means it's so small that it's not growing at a fast rate. So it should be able to be dealt with very quickly. And through chemo and radiation, we would be able to maybe not reverse the damage, but at least stop the progression of my neuropathy and hopefully be able to, over time, my body would kind of compensate for those nerves and it would no longer be an issue for those nerves to be not working properly. I don't want that to be my diagnosis, obviously, because who wants cancer? But that would actually be a better outcome for me in the sense that it could be treated because idiopathic just means we don't know what it is, so we don't know how to treat you. So I would actually end up with a better possible outcome if it is cancer. I am waiting for my doctor to get the final stuff from Mayo, so that she can get my CT scans and my ultrasounds and everything scheduled so that we can see if they can find something. This will be the first CTs, so they should show something, hopefully.
Okay, sorry, my son came in and I had to check his homework. Oh, okay. Basically what I was just trying to say is I just kind of giving a heads up, like this is what I'm talking about and this is kind of why I disappear and come back and disappear and come back. Because like there will be, you know, days upon days in a row where I can't even get on my phone to swipe around to be able to talk, you know, to type anything on Reddit if I wanted to. I don't even use the keyboard on the computer anymore just because my fingers are so, it's just painful. Typing can be very painful. I've got these scans coming up soon.
you know, if they show that I do have a tumor, obviously that's going to change the way forward for me. If they don't show a tumor, there is going to be some, I'm going to ask my doctor about, you know, possibility of if we can do something to see if we can kind of attack those antibodies to see if maybe those are what's going off my nerves, to try to figure out something to try to help. So right now it's still just the trying to understand what's happening in my body. It's been going on for over 2 years, and I finally have a doctor who actually understands this stuff a little bit better. So I'm happy with my doctor here, and he seems very, he and my regular physician, which is a female, they're both very interested in trying to get me, you know, fixed, basically, because I'm in my mid-30s, and I am actually kind of in relatively decent health now. I was not for a long time. I lost a lot of weight, and I got in better shape, and, you know, I should be doing a lot more than I'm able to do now. I don't even get to go to the gym anymore, which I became one of those obnoxious people who was like, I'm going to the gym in the morning. Yay, I can't wait. And I could go for like 2 to 3 hours and just like do some of my exercises and then just get on that treadmill and go for like an hour and a half. I can't even get on the treadmill anymore. The pain in my feet just gets way too high. But I actually am going, this is just a random thing, just thought about this today. I'm wondering if the more I kind of baby my feet, because like when we were at Disney, I was in a wheelchair, because my doctor flat out said, you get a wheelchair, don't even attempt to walk it, it's going to kill you trying to walk it, like that much pain is, it's going to be one of the most painful experiences of your life. And I believed him. So I but I'm wondering if maybe the so much time not using my feet is actually making things worse. So I may start trying to add in some treadmill time a little bit more to see if I can handle it, and see if it makes a difference. The biggest issue is just those first few days, those nights are going to be so painful that I'm not going to be able to function. So I have to kind of weed into this carefully, you know. So, yeah, that's just a thought there. But, yeah, that's what's going on with me. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's somebody out there who's got something similar going on. And they're like, holy shit, you know, let me ask her what all she's been tested for so I can throw it at my doctor and see if we can catch something before we end up getting to this shit, you know. Or, you know, maybe there's somebody who's been through something similar who can be like, oh, my God, you know, this was one of those things that they never test for. But, you know, we asked for this specific test and they tested and this was the answer and this was how it was fixed. And, you know, I don't know. Or it could just be somebody out there who's going through a chronic pain situation who's like, oh, thank God I'm not alone. Which, I mean, I hate to say, you know, that I don't enjoy the idea of other people being in pain, but knowing that I'm not the only one does make it a little bit easier, because it can feel very, very lonely. I cannot work because the pain is just unbearable. There's no working. So, I mean, we'll see. Hopefully I will be more active as time goes on. Hopefully I'll get at least get a good pain management course so that I can be more active. But, yeah, so thanks for listening to me. Thanks for, indulging my ramblings. This lasted way too long for 5 people worth of questions, but I appreciate you listening. So my kid's finished his homework and I hear him rambling now, and I think he's mad because he had to do something with the folklore and he hates that kind of stuff, and I totally get it because I hate that kind of stuff. So I gotta go help him. So I will talk with all of you later. Thanks. Bye.